Today on Crossroads, we're starting a brand new series in the book of Luke and the parables inside it. Our friend Hannah is going to kick us off talking about giving God our hearts and exactly what a heart check is. Hey, I'm Kyle.
Hey, I'm Hannah, and today we're starting a brand new series on the book of Luke.
We're calling it Stuff Jesus Made Up because...
Well, it's stuff Jesus made up.
That's the parables. He literally made them up to help us understand truth.
That's right.
In a way that we could get, which is what this video is all about. You know, at Crossroads, we're completely donor funded. That means that every amount of money you give helps spread this message in a way that helps people understand Jesus.
That's exactly right. So let's stop wasting time and let's just get into it right now.
Who's teaching today?
You know, me.
Oh, what are you gonna say?
Well, I'm going to try to be like Jesus,
okay. So
I'm going to say some parables. I'm going to talk about clothes, rich people, and fools.
So awesome.
We got to get to it right now.
And now presenting the parables. No. I said pair of bowls, not pair of bulls.
Oh, sorry.
The parables. The rich fool. Jesus warned the crowd against greed and made up a story about a rich man and the giant crop he yielded and how he stored his treasures on earth. Today, we're going to look at how Jesus wants to put our faith and treasures in heaven.
Hey, I'm Hannah, and welcome to Crossroads. So glad you're here. Hey, lately, this thing that I've been doing that's occupying literally all of my time is watching life hack videos on TikTok. Yes, I am learning all about how to fold my towels so that they optimize the most space. I'm learning how to make the most perfect vegetable wash that gets rid of all the toxins and everything. Word to the wise, it's baking soda. Anyway, today I'm gonna give you a life hack. One that I hope changes the way you approach everything in your life. And I hope it changes your heart. And when you use this life hack, I think you'll notice immediate reward. Today, we're talking about parables and we're specifically looking in the book of Luke. And we're learning how Jesus will use these made up stories to tell us a truth about ourselves and about him. In particular, he tells a parable that I'm gonna tell you actually right now, a story about the rich fool. And I think that it has some truth for our lives, and I'm gonna tell you what it means. Now, my cool Bible calls it the rich fool. Jesus actually wouldn't have called it that. He would have just launched into the story and told it wonderfully, and he did a great job, by the way, in Luke 12, but I'm gonna give you a summarized version. It's gonna be a little bit different. Here it goes. So there's a man, and this man, he has this awesome barn, and more than an awesome barn, he has this awesome farm. Let's call him Joe, because we need a name in our story. And so Joe is working in his field or whatever. And this particular year, there is just a wonderful crop. No matter what he did, I don't know, maybe he has some awesome fertilizer, but the crop is just amazing. So he's got grain out the wazoo and vegetables and maybe fruit even. He's just got a ton of stuff that he's working with. And he's looking at it, he's going, I got a lot of food this year. That's incredible. But then he looks over at his barn and he's like, dang. Can I say dang? I don't know. But dang, that's not enough space. I need a new plan. So he comes up with this new plan. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll build a bigger barn. This barn's going to be better. This barn's going to have more shelves. This barn's going to have better insulation, more space. And that is what I'm going to do with all of this wonderful crop that I've made. I'm going to put it in that barn. And he says this to himself, not just because he wants to store it up and be kind and awesome and help his neighbors. No. He says, actually, I'm going to do that so that at the end of my life, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. And then the story shifts. Something crazy actually happens. God speaks. He doesn't always speak in all the stories, but he speaks in this story. And he's like, hey, Joe, you fool. This very night, your life is going to be demanded of you, which means you're going to die. And then he says, who will then get what you have prepared for yourself? He's saying, what about the barn then? Man. So let me update the story for you.
Thank you. There are bad ways to wake up, and there are great ways to wake up. Start your day connecting with God and your community. Explore the app and grow deeper daily with the Bible Challenge. A great way to wake up.
So here's the update, because many of us don't actually have grain and barns and ground and cool things like that. But you know what we all do have? Stuff. Even if we consider ourselves minimalists, we all have stuff. And see, stuff in our lives is the same as the grain in the story. And stuff is whatever we're holding on to too tightly. Many of us, especially if we live in America, have stuff in abundance. We have a ton of it. And for each of us, it looks different. It can be things, it can be money, it can be power, it can be emotional capital, it can be control, it can be our idea of success. Stuff really can be anything. One example of something that I hold on real tight to in my life, my stuff, it's my clothes. Look at them, and they just keep coming. Don't you love these shoes? Somehow, there's not enough space for any of it. And so just like Joe in the story, I want to build a bigger closet. That sounds like a good idea. Listen, but I told you that parable. And now you're thinking, are big barns bad? Are large, dreamy, walk-in closets, are they bad and for foolish people? It's quite the contrary. See, having a big closet and building bigger barns are only bad when our hearts are not right. When our intentions are clouded with selfish gain. So let's read a passage of scripture that happened right before Jesus told the parable. In Luke 12, verse 13, it says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" Okay, hold on a second. What just happened? Well, Jesus had just got finished talking about how followers of Jesus behave, and he was hitting on a number of like home run topics. He was talking about how followers of Jesus, they don't fear, they're faithful. He talks about how followers of Jesus, more than anything, they know that they are cared for by God, and they act like it. See, they live knowing that God cares so much that he provides for them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, clothingly, and yes, even financially. See, right after Jesus says this, there's this guy. We're gonna call him Jack. Jack says, yo, what about me? Can't you make my brother give me some more money? Can't you settle the matter of my inheritance?" Okay, just a second. Let me help you wrap your head around this. This makes no sense. Jesus was just talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. And this guy, Jack, is like way in the back, like, yo, hey, pick me. I want to talk. He interrupts him. This is crazy. Jesus is giving an amazing teaching, and people from all around have gathered. They're standing room only. And let me just set the scene for you. He's talking some really good stuff. This is the equivalent of someone coming up and interrupting the keynote speaker at the White House or interrupting the Oscars. Honestly, it's too soon. They're calling that Palm Sunday now. You know what I mean? Anyway, Jack had no reason to be yelling this out. In fact, he had no right. But more importantly than just messing up social protocol, Jack's heart, it's off. It was normal for rabbis to settle disputes, to judge fairly, especially with matters of inheritance. But what's not normal was for Jack to be asking what he was asking for when he was asking for it. And Jesus knows it. Jack wanted Jesus to settle the matter in a way that cheated his brother and rewarded him. Jack's heart was off. His heart was to have more and more stuff for himself. He's looking for a way to gain here. And Jesus stops in his tracks to address him. And he teaches us a valuable lesson. He teaches us this parable about Joe. He tells us about Joe and his barn. And you know what? That moment is not entirely about money. It's not entirely about me getting more clothes. It's not entirely about greed. Jesus is teaching this parable to show his audience how to do a life hack. He's showing them how to do a heart check. See, a heart check is just doing a double take at your actions and your thoughts and filtering them through the word and the heart of God. And there's a simple way to do this. It's making sure that you're rich towards God. Maybe you've never heard it said that way, and I'm going to tell you what it means here in just a second. But you see, the man in the parable, he starts out as a rich man, but he ends the story as a rich fool. Why? Does Jesus hate rich people? No. Jesus is not calling all rich people fools. He actually loves rich people, but he is giving us a clear definition of a fool. He's saying it's the one who's not rich towards God. Let me read it for you. He says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. But what does it even mean? Jesus is saying, this is exactly how you're going to be. You're Joe in the story if you store up clothes in your closet for yourself. But let me tell you, being rich towards God is a little bit simpler than we think. Maybe you've even heard it before because it's recorded quite a bit in the Bible, and it's also here in Luke. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. See, when you're rich towards God, you love him more than anything. And what he wants is more important to you than maybe even what you want. And then you love others as yourself, not almost as yourself, but as yourself. So if you buy the best clothes for you, you would buy the best clothes for someone else. See, doing this causes you to live a capital L life. I'm not just even talking about the abundant life that Jesus does have for us on earth, but I'm also talking about this is the way that leads to eternal life. And that's what the fool was missing. See, he lacked the ability to do a heart check. He couldn't make himself think about what God might want him to do with the grain or how he might use it to help others. He only thought about himself and making himself more comfortable. See, your life, my life, our life is not our possessions. Nothing you own can be taken out of this world. See, there's no amount of preservation that can make you richer towards God. There's no amount of stuff that can make you rich towards God.
Thank you.
God wants your heart more than he wants you to have stuff. And it's important to do a heart check every now and again to make sure that you're in line with God. The real, the good, the full life is not attached to a U-Haul full of stuff. Denzel Washington said it best. He said, "You'll never see a U-Haul attached to a hearse." Nothing that we have can we take out of here with us, because real life, see, it's attached to the richness in God, not stuff. And we get richer when we know how to check our heart. Jesus told the story of the rich fool because he was actually inviting Jack. Remember that guy in the back? Jack. He was inviting him into a heart check. He was warning him. He saw through his fake request for arbitration. And he's warning, hey, bro, don't get hung up on the small stuff. Don't get hung up on the stuff that seems so big and most important down here, because it's actually not. Instead, he's saying, be on your guard. Look out for your heart, because if you don't, you'll think you can take a U-Haul out of here, and you can't. So why did Jesus give him a heart check and not just give him what he wanted, which was the inheritance money? Because Jesus was doing something only he can do. He was looking at the heart. He was observing Jack's intent and his actions. He was actually giving him something way better than inheritance money. Jesus was giving him a life hack that would lead to way more life and not more possessions. And you know what? He offers the same thing to us. Jack was longing for more stuff, longing for more closet space, bigger barns, more money. And the only thing that we should actually be longing for is eternal life. And here's how we know when we need a heart check. Stop for a second. Are you breathing? Are you still consuming oxygen? Well, yeah, that's you. Then you need a heart check. I need a heart check. And we need it because our natural desire is to be like Jack. That's who I see myself as in the story. Our natural desire is to have more stuff. Our default is to secure our earthly safety and well-being, our comfort. We want to make sure we have a comfortable life. And yes, yes, Jesus wants us to have nice things. He absolutely does. But what he wants most is to know that our heart is set on eternity with him, not simply on amassing more things and building bigger closets and barns. That doesn't mean that I need to just rid myself of all of my clothes and for the rest of my life have one outfit. No, that's not what that means. But it likely does mean that I need to do a quick heart check. The fact that I have stuff, it means I need to do a quick heart check. And the fastest way to do that is to ask why. Why do I want more things for my closet? Is it because I want to look the best and I want to find my self-worth in the latest things that I own? Is it because I want to have all of the best clothes so that nobody can talk ill of me or say anything bad and only speak good things? Is that why? See, asking why can start to help us filter our thoughts and actions through the word and character of God. For me, heart checks are the life hack that have helped me decide between promotions and new jobs, between cars, and even between retirement plans and generosity. Jesus said to be on your guard. And this is how we do it. We ask ourselves why. We filter our intentions through Luke chapter 10, verse 27. We ask ourselves, is this making me love the Lord God more with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul? Is it making me love my neighbor? See, where do you need to start implementing a heart check? What about you? Are your intentions wrong towards your family? Is your heart hardened against your neighbor, making it really hard for you to serve them? Are you only doing things that bring you success and build your self-worth? Are you just storing up stuff so that you can be like the rich fool and have a good, what you consider comfortable life? Are you living with eternity in your heart? Before I go any further, I want to tell you the beautiful thing about this whole heart check thing. It's between you and Jesus, nobody else. A one-to-one thing. See, no one else can judge the intentions of your heart except Jesus. Just like no one could judge the intentions of Jack. No one saw through his misnomered request for more money. He really had a heart of greed. So not even those closest to you can really judge what's happening in your heart. Even though some people may want to judge us, they may look at our actions. They're not able to make sense of them. That's okay. See, most people, especially those who don't know Jesus yet, when they see us doing a heart check, we might look crazy because the world is screaming, get more stuff, get more stuff. And Jesus is saying, be on guard. Check your heart. Make sure that your intentions and your actions are not just about you. To people, you might look like an unimaged X-ray. See, without light, this thing is just a dark piece of paper. You can't really make sense of what's happening in it. You can't see that there's actually fractures and something bad going on. But when you raise it to the light, you can see all of that. And that's how it is for our heart. Only God can see through the dark pieces of paper. And it says so in 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. For man, he's looking on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. So he's looking at our hearts. And because he is, he knows where we are. And the good news, friends, is that he wants to help us. Jesus invites us to take some initiative. Yes, of course, he wants us to do some heart checking. But let me be clear, we cannot do this without him. He invites us to lean in, but this isn't something that we can do void of him. Being rich towards God requires that we need him. In just a second, we're going to sing a song called I Surrender All. And I want you to think about what step God may be asking you to take. See, someone who has surrendered is someone who is constantly heart checking, asking themselves, am I holding anything too tightly? Because if I am, I surrender it to Jesus. Because I know that in Jesus is where I'll be rich towards God, where I will have that capital L life that he promises, not just here on earth, but forever in eternity. I know it's how I get hope and joy and peace and the fullness of life that he promised. Listen, if you want to have that life, a life that's rich towards God, you can have it. And Jesus wants you to use this life hack and he wants to help you. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much. Thank you that you've given us a tool to check our hearts. We invite you into heart checking. We ask that you would show us something new. Show us what step you want us to take today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I let you go to sing, as we're listening to this song, as you're maybe even singing this song, ask yourself, have you surrendered to God?
His prayer.
And that was a great message.
Hey, thanks.
I got a lot from it. It's crazy to me that Jesus used made-up stories, parables, to talk about spiritual disciplines.
That's exactly right. And these are just truths. This hope that he was doing when he was talking about spiritual disciplines is, what does it mean to look at the heart? And one of the best ways that he asks that question to us still today is through giving.
That's right. And if you ever wondered about giving, maybe had questions about it, then you're just like me. I had no idea what it was about. And then I learned it's actually about the heart.
That's
like
right.
You talked about. And if you want to try giving, you want to test it, if you want to change the world, you can give in our app. It's super simple. You just click your profile picture in the bottom right, the gear in the top right, and give is right here.
It's as simple as that. Hey, we did a super simple thing just a couple weeks ago that made a huge impact. We changed the way that we ate for just a short time, and we took that money and donated it to our educators, and it made a big difference.
Across the country and throughout the pandemic, our educators have been committed to providing safe and inspiring learning environments for their students. Knowing these folks have been overworked and underappreciated, we wanted to pour out the encouragement and give surprise and delight to the very people who are impacting the lives of thousands of children who are our next generation.
When I heard that Crossroads was going to do a whole week dedicated to teachers, it felt first just nice to be recognized, because I could see that I wasn't alone as a teacher, and that there are other people that are in this with me and connect with other educators and share stories and just feel like you're not alone.
Thank you for getting in the game, getting your jersey dirty, and blessing these educators in so many ways. In just 1 week, thousands of educators were supported and encouraged in meaningful ways. Former students contacted their teachers from years ago, telling them how they have impacted their lives. Current students' families sent words of gratitude for the jobs they are currently doing. Hundreds of lunches were packed, coffee and treats were delivered, cars were washed, bumper stickers were proudly displayed, all in the spirit of showing these hardworking folks just how much we appreciate them.
I feel seen, heard, and known because other people are trying to outdo each other to bless the community.
So at this point, I could retire any day, but as long as the kids are laughing at my jokes and learning from what I teach them and inspiring, and I'm able to inspire them, I feel like I could teach for many more years.
Thank you for spending your time, resources, and energy to show these folks just how much we appreciate them. It's not too late to join in. Encourage your favorite educator today. We will continue to be grateful for their commitment and dedication to our future generations.
Because teachers are the best. I can't read light doing my test. No messes in class. I have to keep straight. They're so fantastic.
Well, we'll see you next time on Crossroads.
Okay, we've got a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. As I've been restoring this 1978 Jeep CJ7, there's this process called tagging and bagging, where every single bolt needs to be tagged and bagged. That's God. He enjoys everybody who's with him, but he has a part of him that fixates over people who are lost, people who are disconnected from him. It's like he puts it out of his mind and just goes on a massive seeking mission.